The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the Punt Podcast with myself, Dave Kellner, and Lee Phelps here in the studio, just for a little look ahead to some anti-post markets, given that we are in the midst of an FA Cup weekend at the moment, Lee.
It's a long weekend, isn't it?
It is a long weekend. It's like one of my breaks, this one, isn't it? It runs from Thursday to Tuesday or Wednesday.
People have been complaining about it on, like, in the media, you know, saying like, oh, you know, it devalues the FA Cup. It doesn't, right? Does it? Why does it devalue the FA Cup? It's got FA Cup matches over 5 days. Yeah. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Brilliant.
People are strange, aren't they? I think that's...
You're right about that, yeah. People are generally strange.
Understand from that particular comment. So we're going to look ahead to some... just look through some of the anti-post markets we've got available for the Premier League. And I suppose we better start with the outright. The odds have obviously changed significantly since we last spoke about this on the Pump Podcast. Chelsea 4-7 now to win the Premier League. Manchester City 11-8. Manchester United 16-1. Arsenal 80-1. Liverpool 250-1. Southampton 250-1. And Tottenham 250-1 in the betting. Chelsea were as short as 1-7. To win this title,
they were,
and now they are 4-7. Chelsea top at the moment, based on alphabetical order, exactly the same points, exactly the same goal difference as well. Chelsea and Manchester City both with 46 points, and both 9 points clear. It does look like a two-horse race for the title, Lee. Those odds, they're skewed heavily in Chelsea's favour. Why is that?
Actually, I don't know. Good point. I mean, I suppose they are the better side, and they have been better when you've watched through the season. They've looked better and they've looked more solid, haven't they? But like you've just said, and like when you look at the table, that everything's exactly equal. And you would say, you know, you'd say that Man City are probably coming into a bit better form. I've looked at the last, you know, like six fixtures. Through kind of from early April through to the end of the season. Chelsea have got Man United at home, Arsenal away, Palace at home, Liverpool at home, West Brom away and Sunderland at home. So, I mean, you would say all things being equal, the Man United, Arsenal, Liverpool games are the three tricky ones there. Man City have got West Ham at home, Villa at home, Tottenham away, QPR at home, Swansea away and Southampton at home. So you would say that Man City have got an easier last six running.
Yep.
I guess, you know, I know it's hard to predict these things. The other thing is, you would say that Chelsea have probably got more chance of staying in the Champions League longer as well. I mean, they both could go out in the next round, to be fair. They're both playing, you know, big teams. But I would still think Chelsea would have more on their plate the longer the season goes on, whether that be FA Cup, Champions League as well. City are liable to just lose daft games, like they almost lost against Sheffield Wednesday, or almost had to go to a replay. So I think I would still favour Chelsea if I wasn't betting. But on the prices, there's only one bet there, isn't there? You have to go City, don't you?
I think so. I think what has muddied the picture here is the media loving with Chelsea this season in a lot of respects, given that they have been widely held and widely regarded as the best team in the Premier League. But even though they've played the best football and they have been the best team, they're still level with points, and Manchester City have lost their talisman for a large part of the season, Sergio Aguero, who is due to return shortly. They've been without him, whereas Chelsea haven't had a major injury like that. Say if Eden Hazard was out, would they be top of the table, joint top of the table?
It's interesting, and you know, and they have managed, you know, throughout that, and you know, I suppose, you know, we've got the got the Africa Cup of Nations as well. Yaya Toure is going to be missing for Man City, which is obviously a big blow to them. Chelsea won't be missing anyone from their team. So, you know, maybe you give them a bit more, because Toure is actually coming into his own now. He's actually, after all that question, people questioning his form in the early season, he is starting to come into his own. But I agree. I think maybe the odds are slightly skewed because probably the traders want them to be like that as well. They probably want, you know, they don't want many more people back in Chelsea.
No, I think they want to level that book off, definitely.
So I think there's a bit of that in it as well.
You remember pre-season, Chelsea weren't favourites for long periods, but then prior to the start of the season, there was a welterweight of cash for Chelsea, and that forced the price down. And I think that's possibly a good shout. I think Chelsea They don't want to take any more money on Chelsea. No. They want to attract that Man City cash at 11-8. But I think if you're betting now, you can only have one bet, and it's got to be Manchester City. Plus, Manchester City have got recent pedigree as well, whereas Chelsea have still got that to prove.
Yeah, definitely. Two out of the last three seasons they've won the Premier League, and they've been tight runnings as well, haven't they? So they're used to it. They, like you say, not that Chelsea aren't, not that Mourinho isn't, but I tell you what, it's going to be a great running. If it stays as close as this, it'll be it'll just be brilliant, won't it? And like I say, Man City probably slightly the easier last six games, you would say.
What did you make to that? Just before we leave this and move on to the top four finish betting, what did you make to that performance at White Hart Lane then of Chelsea's? Beaten 5-3. The first real time this season that they've been put under a lot of pressure at the back, and they wilted slightly. Everyone's talked about the impacts Nemanja Matic has had in this side, and undoubtedly he's been one of the standout players this season. He, in inverted commas, went missing a little bit in that particular match, and they for the first time a team got into that back line, got at Cahill and got at Terry, and Harry Kane's obviously in inspired form at the moment, and he was the difference maker in that match. And for the first time, Chelsea looked a little bit vulnerable.
Yeah, they did. I think it was a combination. I don't think it was all down to Matic. But I think it was just a combination of a few things. I thought Tottenham were great, by the way. And when you have got someone like Kane, who's a breath of fresh air, he seems to lift this Tottenham side. John Terry has claimed that he's as good as Sergio Aguero, Alexis Sanchez and Robin Van Persie in the Daily Star.
Well, yeah,
can I just add that little caveat?
I'd like to know what the exact quotes were, because that looks like a headline that's devised for clicks, Mr. Phelps, being the cynic that I am.
Do you want to read it?
Yeah.
Basically, this is it's been relayed from Brad Friedel.
Has it really?
Brad Friedel's a big fan of his. On Match of the Day 2, a few months ago, he was all over him. He said, "I spoke to John Terry after the game, and he said Harry Kane was one of the most difficult people he's played against this season. That speaks volumes. Harry is an outstanding talent. He's one of the best finishers I've ever played with. It's time for him to focus and keep learning, blah, 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 blah." So what they've managed to do from that quote, John Terry said, this is from Brad Friedel, so this is only hearsay, "Harry Kane was one of the most difficult people he's played." So they've gone with that and said, "All right, well, that means he's as good as Sergio Aguero." Well, no, even that's not true, because he said he's one of the most difficult. Well, what if the more difficult people were those three?
Yeah.
It's absolutely
Which
ridiculous.
In all likelihood, it is absolutely ridiculous.
That's outrageous journalism, isn't it?
That is outrageous journalism.
Talk about
that is journalism in inverted commas. That is taking the mickey, that, isn't it, a little bit?
I think that's journalistic license plus. But he is playing very, very well, obviously, and he's in great form. So with him and with the movement, Tottenham just suddenly seemed to, be very confident, and they had been growing in confidence. I think it was an off day.
Okay.
And nothing more than that. I think a few players had off days. I think Mourinho's given them excuses because of all the complaining about the programme. Maybe they were a little jaded. I think it was an off day. I don't think we'll see anything like that again.
Top four finish markets then, Chelsea and Manchester City.
You're not touching on Man United for the title, and have you given that ghost up?
That ghost is well and truly given up. I think if you remember pre-season when we talked about it, I'll have to dig out that podcast.
Because I listened to it the day, believe it or not.
No, you didn't. Mm-hmm. I went for Manchester United to finish second.
You went to Man City outside the top four.
I did, didn't I? Yeah.
I listened to it.
I did go for Manchester United to finish second, and we all went for Chelsea, I think, unanimously to win the title, didn't we? Which, even though they look short 4-7 right now, it is proving.
Yeah, I think I went Chelsea, Man City.
Did you?
Straight forecast.
Yeah. That was that 4-1?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It might, whatever, something around that.
I think so.
It was a decent price.
Obviously. You don't want to crow too long about that, do you?
Isn't it? That's past.
You've got to look to the future. So Chelsea and Man City are almost guaranteed to be in the top four. Manchester United 1-4. To be in the top four. Arsenal 4-7, Southampton 3-1, Tottenham 4-1, Liverpool 6-1, 25-1, West Ham 40-1, and bigger the rest. Just to put you fully in the picture, Chelsea and Man City, as mentioned, both with 46 points. Manchester United third in the league with 37 points. Southampton fourth with 36. Tottenham got 34. Arsenal 33. West Ham 32. Liverpool and Swansea both 29, and Newcastle round off the top 10 with 27 points currently. Manchester United 1-4 to be in the top four. that looks a little bit skinny.
Yeah,
I think they will be, but that does look a little bit skinny.
Yeah, it does. Still got, the forms. I still don't think they're playing brilliantly well. I mean, I don't watch them and go, wow, what another great performance. But they're obviously getting there. You know, they've had two wins in the last five in the Premier League. Before that, they'd won a load on the bounce.
It's not the style that Louis van Gaal has, though, does it? I don't think he's there to wow crowds.
No,
think he's there to set up a team that are going to grind out results and keep possession well,
yep,
and keep the ball, not necessarily entertain. I understand what you're saying, though. They don't look emphatic at the moment.
No, but they don't need to be, do they, in this division at the moment? So, no problem there. Last six or seven fixtures, they got Holloway last game of the season. Arsenal at home, the penultimate game. Before that, it's Crystal Palace away. They've got West Brom, Everton, Chelsea before that, and Man City. So it's a pretty... if you go from mid-March, you've got... This is the run of fixtures Man United finish with. The other thing is they haven't played that many top teams.
No,
so
they've
far.
Not.
They've got Tottenham at home. This is from the 14th of March. Tottenham at home, Liverpool away, Villa at home, City at home, Chelsea away, Everton away, West Brom at home, Crystal Palace away, Arsenal at home, and Hull away. So, they're going to have it. I think they're going to have some pressure on them.
They just need to get through that period and be in touching distance, don't they? Because those last four or five games all look winnable.
Yeah. I wonder about Liverpool going to have a better second half to the season. I think they'd be disappointed if they didn't. 29 points. So currently they're 7 points off the top four, which is a big gap. They need Sturridge back. I think if Sturridge came back and they did some business in the January window, I think they will be a lot closer than they are now come the end of the season. They're running from a similar kind of similar time, the 21st of March. Man United at home, Arsenal away, Newcastle, Hull away, West Brom away, QPR at home, Chelsea away, Crystal Palace at home, Stoke away. No easy games in the Premier League, so maybe slightly easier than Man United, but they need to pick up some points. I'm not having Southampton in the top four for a start. I think Liverpool should be... Liverpool are 6-1, Southampton are 3-1. I think they will flip. Their positions, they will be below Liverpool come the end of the season.
Do you think so?
Yeah. I think we've seen that they're a bit brittle. They're a good side. I'm not decrying them at all, because you look at the form since they started to get back on track. But any team who's capable of losing five straight games in the Premier League, that'll happen again. I think that'll happen again in some form before the end of the season. Southampton's running got City last game of the season, which is no easy one. Villa, Leicester before that, Sunderland, Tottenham, Stoke. So it's not bad, apart from the last game of the season.
You mentioned that run of five straight losses, and obviously that was detrimental at the time. But they got a lot of big teams out of the way in that spell as well.
Yeah, and then they've actually, to be fair to them, they've learnt against those teams this time round. Remember, they played three of them before Christmas, which started the bad run, and they played three of them after Christmas or around Christmas, and they got a draw against Chelsea, beat Arsenal, and they got Man United this weekend, of course. So we'll see how they finish off. Tottenham obviously coming into form. The win against Chelsea would give them loads of confidence. Not a bad run in at the end of the season either, but they've got Man City to play, but that's the only big team in inverted commas. Everton last game of the season away at Goodison. I think they'll be there or thereabouts. I think Tottenham and Liverpool should be shorter than Southampton are. I think they're just priced up on the league position at the moment.
Okay.
But I find it hard to think that any other than the four that are quoted there odds on will be finishing the top four. Mm. To be honest with you, as a value shout, I'd probably go Liverpool, but I can't really see it. I can't see them knocking Arsenal. I can't see Arsenal losing enough games. I mean, they're only 4 points adrift of Liverpool, Arsenal, to be fair. Arsenal got some quality in their team. I don't think they'll last too long in the Champions League either. And they always do it. It's hard to back against them.
Yeah.
Quite a difficult run in. They've got Chelsea and Man United in the last six games. But other than that, they've got games that they'll win. So I'm going to, boring as it is, I think it will be Chelsea, Man City, Man United, Arsenal, probably in that order. But the value, I'd go for Liverpool at 6-1.
Yeah, the player that's impressed me at Tottenham, we've mentioned Harry Kane, Nasser Chadli, I think has been absolutely fantastic. Tottenham 4-1 to finish in that top four, but league going with Chelsea, Man City, Manchester United and Arsenal. Let's have a look at the relegation market next then. Burnley 8-15 to be relegated. Leicester 4-7, Crystal Palace 6-4, QPR 6-4, Hull 9-4, West Brom 9-4, Sunderland 4-1, Aston Villa 5s, Everton 20s, Newcastle 33s, and Stoke in the market at 40-1 to go down. At the moment, the three teams in the relegation zone, Leicester City with 14 points, 3 points adrift of Burnley and Crystal Palace, who both have 17 points. West Brom have 18, Queen's Park Rangers have 19, Hull City 19 points, Sunderland 20, Everton 21, Aston Villa 22, and there's a bit of a gap to Stoke, who have 26 points in the Premier League. This is one of the most interesting markets on the on the website at the moment, this relegation market, because usually at this time in the year, this time at Christmas, you'd have a team that is cut adrift and long odds on for the drop, and we've not this time round, really.
No, it is. I think it's really interesting. I always go on teams who struggle to score goals, and I think after 20 games, if a team has got, Leicester have got 14 points after 20 games. Now, they're not going to suddenly improve dramatically the second half of the season. You know, I'm not saying that they're going to get, they're just going to double what they've got or anything like that with the remaining games. They'll probably improve slightly, but I think they're going to really struggle to gain the 4 points on the teams above them. Now, I do think they've got, a bit of togetherness, and I think the manager will instill a sense of siege mentality, if you like, and that'll work for them. And they've not got a bad run in either. QPR, Sunderland, Southampton, Newcastle, Burnley, Swansea, West Brom is the last 7 games.
Yeah,
so that's not bad. If you need a chance come that time, and the last top four side they play is Man City on the 4th of March. Got Tottenham as well. But other than that, every other team is kind of like, probably top 10 and below. So, I think they've got a chance to get away. But how are they going to accumulate that many points? Let's say you need 37 points. That's 23 points they need to get in the remaining games. Tricky that, isn't it? It's not easy at all. So 38 games in the season. Got 18 games left to accumulate those 28 points.
23.
What did I say?
28.
Yeah, 23 points, sorry. So, I think they've got it all on, but the fixtures help them. Palace, obviously, new manager, so that's going to, that is going to give them a bit of a lift. And I think he's a good manager as well, to be fair. I don't get all this. I don't know why the Newcastle fans are so against him. What's he done wrong? Heard a fan on 606 on Saturday night saying, I think Robbie was on and with Darren Fletcher, and was saying, who do you bring in then? And the guy came on and went, well, we need a foreign manager who will work within the parameters that the owner sets. And Robbie or Darren, probably Darren, said, well, Alan Pardew was working within the parameters of what the owner set.
No, that's
kept
correct.
You in the Premier League, and you've had the odd brilliant season. What's he done wrong? What's the guy done wrong? They sell his best players.
I agree with you, actually. I think some Newcastle fans tend to have ideas above the club station.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
Is that?
I think that is fair. Yeah,
I don't want to appear too damning about some Newcastle fans, but
that's fine. I think that's a fair assessment.
A lot of them think tactically he's been a little bit inept, Alan Pardew, and that's the reason they wanted him out. Maybe I'm wrong.
Now, sometimes the kind of general opinion of a manager carries through to the players at a new club. Let's wait and see how they take to him, because they need to take to him really well. They're a point off safety at the moment, 17 points. So, if we use that 37 point mark, they need another 20 points and maybe 23 to be absolutely safe. Now, they've got a tricky old running, Swansea last game of the season, winnable game, depending on where Swansea are. They've probably got nothing to play for, to be fair to Swansea. Liverpool away, the penultimate game. Man United at home on the 9th of March, May. Crystal Palace away at Chelsea the game before that, Hull before that, West Brom, Sunderland and Man City on the 4th of April.
A couple of real scraps there against West Brom and Hull in all likelihood as well.
So some winnable games, but you wouldn't expect, all things being equal, to get much out of Man City, Liverpool or Chelsea, although they tend to do quite well against Liverpool. So, a tricky run in, but you probably have to give them the benefit of the doubt at this stage that he will have an impact.
Okay.
I think. Burnley.
You see,
you're quite like
I'm strong on Burnley.
I think they'll survive.
I just think they have got a terrific manager. I think they will survive. I think that's going to be the shock there. Burnley 8-15 to survive. I'm just trying to throw in teams that could slip and could go down. That's the problem.
Burnley again, though. I mean, they've got Arsenal on the 11th of... they've got Tottenham on the 4th of April. And then they've got Arsenal, Everton. Right, three tricky games, no doubt about that. Everton's away, by the way, the other two at home. Then they home to Leicester, away at West Ham, away at Hull, home to Stoke, away at Villa. So there's some winnable... If you're in a scrap, there's some games that you could pick up 3 points. They've just got a torrid time, really, from February through to mid-March. They've got a terrible run there. Man United away, Chelsea away, Swansea
at home.
Everyone's
got to play these teams at some point, though. You'd rather...
In quick succession, DK.
Yeah.
They could be... What if they get to the next game after City is Southampton, Tottenham and Arsenal? I mean, they could feasibly get to April and be down. They might have done too... It might be too far away from them by then. If they haven't picked up... I mean, how many points do you think they're realistically going to pick up from Man United, Chelsea, Swansea, Liverpool, City, Southampton, Tottenham and Arsenal? That's a long run of games. Will they pick up 6 points during that run? Even?
Maybe because they've got... They're tenacious and they've got... I know we say you can't quantify fighting spirit, but this is a team that came from behind three times against Newcastle in their most recent Premier League match and came from two goals down away at the Etihad at Manchester City.
Yeah.
They maybe haven't got the quality of some of the other teams in the scrap down at the bottom, but what they have got is, as I've mentioned, difficult to quantify, but I think they've got more fighting spirit than a lot of the teams down there.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I completely agree with that. I'm just trying to do a bit of maths here and thinking, let's say they don't get much more than that. Let's say they get 8 points from those games, which I think that's fair. Maybe a little bit overly fair. That means they've got to pick up the remaining. Let's say again, you know, they're on 17. Let's say they need 23 points to be absolutely safe.
Yes.
Let's say they pick up 8 from there. Well, they need the other 15 points from 10 other games, averaging 1.5 point a game. At the minute, they've got 17 points from 20. You're good at maths, DK. That ain't 1.5, is it?
Not quite, is it?
So, I mean, they've got to improve drastically. I know I'm going on a bit here, but, you know, I've looked at this. West Brom are an interesting one. Look at this for a run-in. Terrible, really. I mean, this is the last six games of the season. They've got Man City in the middle of March. They've got Crystal Palace on the 18th of April. That's obviously a good game for them, winnable game. Liverpool, Man United, Newcastle away, Chelsea and Arsenal on the run-in.
They'll go down. They're the one that will go down, I think.
That's the one I think is a decent price at 9-4.
Yeah, he's being made out to be the Messiah. I mentioned that on the podcast we did at the weekend.
They're at 7 at the weekend.
You what, sorry?
I know they did, and
they look fantastic. And
I think
Saido Berahino got a hat-trick.
16-1.
He is key. I think it was 11s, actually.
16s.
11-1.
Tweeted that it was 16.
Yeah. He's key, isn't he? He needs to keep on scoring if West Brom are going to stay up. But I think there's a heavy reliance on one player at West Brom. And those odds are such that Tony Pulis's arrival has been factored into those odds massively.
Mm.
And I'm not buying any of that Tony Pulis nonsense.
Okay.
He had 6 good months at Crystal Palace. Before that, he was done and dusted at Stoke. Mm-hmm. People were very disparaging about the way they were playing football back at the time. And that was it. He was out. He was gone. Came back at Palace, did a decent job. West Brom are being... They're overrated there, I think. West Brom 9-4 is a good price. And
yeah.
A team that a lot of people thinking could drop, given their away form, must improve, obviously.
Yeah.
QPR, 6-4 to go down. But there's a big but here. Look at the teams they've played away from home this season in the Premier League.
Yeah.
They've almost dusted with their...
Well, they've got Man City and Liverpool.
Difficult matches.
2nd of May, 9th of May, Man City, Liverpool away. I mean, again, you know, I'm not saying they won't get a result away from home all season, because that would be daft, but you're not going to expect them to go on a winning run, are you? So, you know, I think you can...
No.
How many they've got, you know, from the remaining away games that they've got 10 away games left. Now, How many points are they realistically going to get from 10 away
games? It will get better, though, won't it?
Yeah, but 10? Could they amass 10 points?
Maybe get 10 points.
That's 2 wins and 4 draws. That means unbeaten in 6 of the 10. Mm. So it's a lot, though, isn't it? When you start to do the maths, you think, yeah. Well,
I mean, possibly not, but they've only played one side in the bottom half of the table away from home this season. Their away matches in the Premier League have been Tottenham, Manchester United, Southampton, West Ham when they were on that run, Chelsea, Newcastle, Swansea, Everton, the one team that's not in the top 10 that you would expect, mm-hmm. all things being equal, to possibly finish in the top 10,
yeah.
And Arsenal. So, I mean, that is just has been tough away from home, yeah. for them, and that means they've got a lot of easy games to come away from
home. The flip side of that is, and there always is a flip side, the home form, which obviously they've built the season around so far, they've got Man United, Southampton, Tottenham, Arsenal, Everton, Chelsea, West Ham, Newcastle. I mean, does that carry on?
So
they're in desperate trouble.
What do you think to the price at 6-4, and do you trust Harry Redknapp to escape with this team? We've not talked about the players, have we, at QPR either. Is that squad any good?
I quite look before the start of the season. I was I didn't think they'd go down. I thought they'd do a lot better than they have done. Now they're 16th at the minute.
They're 16th
at the minute, aren't they? 19 points. It's a tricky one. This, you know,
who do you think?
I don't like that. I don't think I can back that price.
If you're taking the odds out of things, who do you think goes down? Which three teams go down?
Burnley, Palace. I'm torn between West Brom and Villa.
Not even talked about Aston Villa.
I know, but I'd probably go West Brom. If pushed, I'd go West Brom, West Brom, Palace and Burnley. I don't know why I think Leicester will get away with it. They're marooned almost.
I think they're a good bet to go down at 4-7.
And the maths that I've just done for QPR, they should be down. I mean, really, that's going to be very tough to pick up points. That home form, it's not that good. You know, everyone's, oh yeah, they're brilliant at home, QPR. The record at home is 1-5, drawn 4, lost 2. Now, it's got it's good, but it's not like it's amazing when they've got all those teams to come. You know, they beat West Brom 3-2, beat Leicester 3-2. It's not like they were absolutely smashing teams to bits.
Why do people think Leicester are going to escape because they've put a couple of decent performances back to back?
I'm not sure. I don't know why I think either. I think I'm being swayed by the manager, like you are with Burnley a little bit.
Possibly.
I really think the manager's quality.
I think a lot of people maybe have had their opinion on Leicester changed by that performance at Anfield. That was given a lot of publicity, that performance at Anfield, given that they outplayed Liverpool in many different departments. And came back to draw that game. A lot of people...
It's probably the three that are there now, you know.
Same as the top four.
Yeah, it's hard.
West Brom are the bat.
I think I agree with you. And I think, you know, like I say, I think Villa are interesting at the price. At 5-1, I think Villa are now to be relegated. I think they're an interesting team to look at. I mean, not got a bad run in, though. Burnley, Southampton, West Ham, the last three. Before that, they've got Everton and Man City, QPR, Tottenham, Man United, Swansea. You know, so I mean, like you said before, you've got to play the good teams. So I think they probably will just about sneak out of it. But they could, at 5-1, they've got a few games coming up that might test them. They might drop a bit further down in the next few weeks. So you might be on the right side of that bet in a few weeks. But yeah, like you, I'll go West Brom at 9-4 to be the team who drop out of the Premier League.
Let's finish off with a look at the top goal scorer market. Diego Costa is 4-5. Favourite to be top scorer. Sergio Aguero, who's going to make his comeback shortly, a bit like Marcus Rojo, he's due back soon. 7-4, Sergio Aguero. Alexis Sanchez is 10-1. Charlie Austin, 14s. Robin Van Persie is 20-1. Graziano Pella, 40s. Harry Kane, 40-1. Wayne Rooney, 40-1. And it's 50s bar. Wilfred Bony included in that. A duo of Radamel Falcao and Wilfred Bony, both 50s, and Bony obviously gone to the African Cup of Nations now. Spin us through the standings first of all, Lee.
Yeah, Aguero's on 14, so is Costa, Charlie Austin on 12, Alexis Sanchez on 10, Cisse and Bony on 9, you've got Sacco, Rooney, Van Persie, Berahino, Hazard and Pelé on 8, Harry Kane, Chadli and Torre all on 7. We could go down, but I don't think there's much need to go down there. On average, you know, you're looking at, you've got each way odds here, a quarter of the odds for a place in the top two. Stingy, very stingy. You know, you're going to need, obviously, you're going to need, you know, 20 plus goals to finish in the top two. Usually when you're giving you like places in the top three or maybe even top four, then you can maybe get away with like 15 goals in the season. But as it is this season, I think you're probably going to be looking at high 20s as your top scorer.
This looks like a match, doesn't it? We talked about the matches in terms of the in the Premier League title race. It's got to be one of the top two, hasn't it?
You would think so, wouldn't you? I mean, they've been flip-flopping all season. I think I've done a preview of this market a few times with Mark Walton.
So have you got both players on side?
Well,
then,
I think we have, yeah. I think when Acosta, after his start of the season, Aguero was 4-1.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, that's just crazy. You know, Aguero's such a good player. Then Aguero started to play well. Acosta had a few games where he had that niggly hamstring, he was being rested. And suddenly he was a bigger price. So I think, you know, if you have been playing the market, then I think you've got a winner. But I mean, Alexis
he's not
Sanchez,
had much rest, though, has he, Diego Costa?
No.
You say he's been rested. He's not had that much rest. He's played a lot of football this season. Sergio Aguero will be the one if, and it is a huge if, he doesn't aggravate his hamstring issue again, that he's going to maybe be freshest at the come the end of the season.
Yeah, true. I mean, it depends what happens with the Champions League, doesn't it? How much they want to play Costa in the Champions League and use Drogba in the Premier League. That does count against Costa, I think. I think Aguero's a kind of player, if his fitness is back up to top speed, and we think he's going to be back for the Arsenal game in 2 weeks' time, then I think that's value. If you haven't had a bet in this market yet, I think 7-4 is value. He's just such a good player. Maybe slightly easier games, as we've already mentioned, for Manchester City in the running, if he's playing. It's a real shame there's not, you know, each way odds in the top three, because I think Alexis Sanchez is, I mean, I still think he might be four goals off those two. So it's a long way to catch up, but could he grab second place if Aguero does one of the two pick up an injury or don't play that much? 10-1 is a big old price for a player of his quality. He's such a good player, DK. He reminds me so much of Suarez. I know Wenger said that, but you know, I think he's fantastic. Averages 3.2 shots a game in his 18 games and scored 10 goals from those. Not a bad ratio.
The thing about the comparison with Suarez is Suarez was more of an out-and-out striker than Alexis Sanchez. Alexis Sanchez plays deeper, doesn't he? In this particular market, I'm not saying it counts against him as a footballer, but in this particular market, it counts against him.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Sergio Aguero just doesn't need many chances, does he?
No, but then Arsenal are more of an attacking team against lesser sides. City are quite comfortable just to sit in and, you know, grab a couple, you know, a goal, one goal or two goals. Arsenal are more likely to score threes and fours, I think, against your weaker opposition if they get going. I think Aguero at 7-4 is a great bet. You know, his stats, he's had he's played started four games less than Diego Costa, scored the same amount of goals. He has just under five shots a game. So he's had 63 shots this season and scored 14 goals from them. So that's some ratio, that is. If you haven't had a bet, 7-4 Aguero, I think you'll get paid out, but I think you'll get a really good run for your money at the very least.
I think you'll win it, and that is the huge if. Is that factored into the odds? I think it is right now. Yeah, it's all about fitness.
We've got William Hill done the winner top scorer doubles, by the way. Man City Aguero 4-1. If you fancy a little, if you're confident of Man City,
that's not a bad price at all. Yeah. That's a good price.
I'd rather have Chelsea Aguero. Yeah. Winner top scorer double.
You're making up markets now. You'd like that, wouldn't you?
That'd be nice.
Yeah. That brings us to the end of the program, Lee. Thank you for your company, and we'll be back. We've got Premier League this weekend.
I'm looking forward to
it,
actually, getting back to normal.
Yeah, I am as well.
I'm confused.
This FA Cup weekend's been going on for me. I'm not sure what it is with this FA Cup weekend. Are you?
How did your nap get on, by the way?
It lost, Lee. Thank you for just bringing that up right at the end of the podcast.
What was it? Sunderland
-1. Yeah.
I didn't see the highlights, so I don't even know if it was unlucky
or not. Stephen Fletcher could shoot.
Oh, really?
If Stephen Fletcher could shoot.
I tipped him up to play well, didn't I?
For full transparency here, Leeds were slightly unfortunate in that second half and could have well got an equaliser, but Fletcher did have a load of chances.
Derek went for Southampton to lose to Ipswich. He should be more of a cautious colleague.
He should.
I mean,
because he had the
plus one would have been all right. Yeah. It was 7-1, weren't they, Ipswich?
They were 4-9 Southampton, so you're probably looking around about 13-8 on the plus
what's
one.
What's wrong with that as an app?
Nothing.
Crazy.
Nothing. He wants the big payout, doesn't he, Mr.
Mine
McGovern?
Is Matt Tubbs to score for Wimbledon as we record this. Tonight against Liverpool.
It is, isn't it? Thank you for your company, Lee. And remember, if you want to check out the Pump podcast from the weekend, we have still got FA Cup matches tonight and tomorrow night, which we preview on that podcast. You can find it all at audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill. And, of course, you can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes as well. We'll talk about the naps on the weekend's podcast. Thank you to Lee Phelps for his company, and thanks to you for listening, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.